на гору Олене, зокрема, його книга «Where There Are Mountains and Environmental History of the Southern Appalachians», там, де гори, екологічна історія Південних Апалачів, займається дослідженням Карпатського регіону протягом більше 10 років і завершує стипендію Фулбрайта в Румунії і в Україні. Можна сказати, що має вже за спиною і українські ініціативи. Зокрема, був організатором міжнародної конференції «Карпати-Апалачі. Людина і розвиток громад гірських районів», що відбулася в Івано-Франківську у вересні цього року. Але очевидно, що на засіданні методологічного семінару, в роботі методологічного семінару, доктор Девіц для нас буде цікавий, власне, своїми підходами до досліджень. В першу чергу треба сказати, що власне доктор Девіц під час сьогоднішнього засідання нашого буде презентувати екологічні, етнологічні схожості між регіоном Карпат і Апалач. І буде дискутувати важливості історичної міграції, зокрема міграції українців в регіон Апалачів Західної України впродовж 19-го і початку 20-го століття. І, звичайно, запропонує методологічні підходи того, що називається environmental history. Це фактично, можна сказати, екологічна історія, наука, яка тільки у нас починає розвиватися, фактично в нас її немає, що використовує антропологічні, етнологічні, історичні, візуальні засоби для ілюстрації людської, соціальних відносин упродовж різного часу. Цей підхід є надзвичайно важливим для нас, для теперішніх досліджень. Досить сказати, що в умовах переходу до глобалізації соціальні відносини, соціальне середовище все більше і більше захоплює природу. І відносини людина-природа стають все менше і менше розмежовані. І тому такі наспісне дослідження власне проблем соціальної антропології через екологічну історію для нас може бути надзвичайно цікавим і плідним. Отож, я передаю слово для презентації пану доктору Давицю. Прошу презентувати свою доповідь. Час, очевидно, у нас буде дещо збільшений в зв'язку із перекладом, паралельним перекладом. Так що, прошу, будь ласка, 40 хвилин у нас триває презентація, 40 хвилин тексту, чисто в зв'язку з перекладом, звичайно, презентація може збільшитися.
So, first of all, thank you for inviting me, Professor Ihor Markov. Thank you so much for inviting me here today to speak at this wonderful building. And for your Ethnology Institute. Thank you very much. People often ask me what my favorite city is in Ukraine, and no matter which city I'm in, I always say Lviv. I'm not a politician, I really mean that. So let's get started. I want to start off by talking a little bit about the approach that I take to studying the Carpathians as well as the Appalachians. First slide. My claim to fame in America, although I've written 6 books, probably the most important book that I wrote is still used in college courses today in America. It's called Where There Are Mountains, an Environmental History in the Southern Appalachians.
mountains, там, де гори, власне, ця екологічна історія Південно-Апалачі.
So it looks at the history of human nature relationships in Appalachia over 400 years, four centuries. So to fully understand the human nature relationships that evolved in Appalachia over a 400 year period, I had to wear many scholarly hats. Next slide. I had to be an archaeologist. I had to be a cultural anthropologist. I had to be a historian. I also had to know something about agriculture history. And even though I wasn't trained as a biologist or a botanist, I had to know something about ethnobotany. About dendrochronology, which is the study of tree rings. Palynology. A new discipline in America where people analyze pollen grains in ancient soils in order to reconstruct the forest that existed 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago. And I also had to understand climate and climate change. As we all know, in the last several hundred years, the climate is not quite as what it was a long time ago. For the period of the 17th and 18th century, I had to use a lot of what we call in America classic ethnology. Next slide. Yes, there was a period in American history where we had a separate discipline called ethnology, not anthropology, but ethnology. In fact, the best anthropologists in America were those who worked for the Smithsonian Institution, whose title was ethnologist. And in Appalachia, the premier ethnologist in the Appalachian region was James Mooney. James Mooney lived with the Cherokees. He spoke Cherokee. And he wrote, next slide, one of the most important books on the cultural sort of anthropology or the ethnology or the ethnicity of the Cherokee called Myths of the Cherokees, which was published in 1902. So for two centuries, the Cherokee Indians were the dominant ethnic group in Appalachia. So in order for me to understand human nature relationships, I had to understand the Cherokees. So I had to go back to Professor Mooney's research. What's exciting about Professor Mooney's work is that much of it that he wrote in Cherokee or about the Cherokees has not been translated into English yet. And I live only 20 minutes from the Smithsonian Institution, so I hope to be the first to look at that information. Next image. Of course, for you folks to really understand Appalachia, before you can really compare it to the Carpathians, you need to know a little bit about it as a geographic region. Most geographers consider this the Appalachian chain. But this is not the culture region. This is not the social region of Appalachia or the political reason region. This is only the geographic region. It's a very large area. It's more than 1 million square kilometers. Almost twice the size of Ukraine. It extends all the way from Maine down to Tennessee and Alabama. I had to cut off Alabama and Tennessee. I apologize for that. Most of my research and my work is focused on what we call the Southern Appalachians. It's about 300,000 square kilometers. Next image. This is what Appalachia looks like. This is the Blue Ridge Mountains of Southwest Virginia. And when you compare it to the Ukrainian Carpathians, you obviously see many similarities. Next slide. This is Kosmansh, Ukraine. Next image. We also have Polaninas in the Carpathians. Pravda. In fact, my research found that most of the Polaninas in Appalachia were actually created by the phenomena of transhumance. You know, transhumance, the herding of sheep and cattle in the high
mountains.
So here is an image of a Polanina in Transcarpathia. The next image, here is our Polanina in North Carolina. This is an area where people hike, so this trail has actually been worn by people who are hiking a lot in this area. A very, very famous or popular place for people to go hiking. A century ago, our mountaineers, our highlanders, raised sheep, just like they still do here in the Carpathians of Ukraine, but no longer. So 100 years ago, it would be possible to find some brinza, maybe some woods, in Appalachia. Next image. Another interesting similarity between the Carpathians and the Appalachians is our mountains are about the same elevation. And I think this explains some of the similarities. Our Appalachian mountains are not extremely high. Your Carpathians are not extremely high in elevation either. Our tallest peak in western North Carolina and all of Appalachia is exactly 2,037
meters.
Your tallest peak, next image, is Mount Faverla, which is 2,061 meters. So I guess in the contest of the Carpathians versus Appalachia, you win the first round. Next image. Of course, both Appalachia and the Carpathians have historically been largely forest-dependent communities. Agriculture has been less important than what happens in the forest. So, up until the 1960s in the Carpathians, you could find logs being rafted down most of the Carpathian rivers. This photograph was taken on the Chorny Chernomorsk in 1945. In Appalachia, we also have the very same phenomenon. Next image. This photograph was taken on the Cumberland River in 1941. All of these logs were cut in the Appalachians about 200 kilometers north, and they were floated down the river. the very same way that they do here in the Carpathians. Unfortunately, our river logging or our log rafting ended in the 1940s because most of our rivers in Appalachia were dammed and it prevented the logs from being freely transported downstream.
На жаль, у 40-х роках ця практика в Appalachia припинилася, тому що більшість з наших початку ставили дамби або
next image. Of course, when you have a forest-dependent community, dependent on wood for survival, almost everything that you do and that you're involved in revolves around wood and wood products.
Звісно, коли спільнота настільки сильно залежить від лісу, то дуже багато діяльності цієї спільноти пов'язано із деревиною.
This is a photograph taken in the 1930s in Appalachia. This man was an expert basket maker, making baskets from white oak. Here you see a scythe, just like you would find in the Carpathians. Almost everything that you see there was made by the family in the home. These traditions continued in Appalachia for another 20 or 30 years, and then they slowly started dying out. However, some traditions did survive. Next image. Log cabin building, for example, continued up until the 1960s, so Appalachians still lived in log homes. This was a log home that was still being lived in the 1930s. Next image. This is another home that was lived in the 1930s. It's in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park today, so it's being preserved within a national park. A lot of ethnologists, anthropologists, folklorists in America have made their careers on trying to decide which ethnic groups was the most dominant in Appalachia. And many, for example, focus on the type of notching in this log cabin, saying that this particular type of notching could only be associated with German ethnicity, for example.
І, наприклад, це дуже багато, ну, хтось може вам сказати, що такого типу хата є характерною для німецької етнічності, наприклад.
An opposing side that, no, they only did that notching in Sweden, so it must be Swedish influence.
Інші скажуть, ні, таке практикували тільки в Швеції, значить це Швеція.
No, but we also see this in Finland. It must be Savo-Karelians who did this.
Але ми таке бачимо також в Фінляндії, значить, напевно, це Карелія, це Фердісі.
But the Cherokee Indians also made log cabins this way. So we're a little suspicious of using one building technique to determine ethnicity in our research. But it's fascinating nonetheless. Next image. One thing that you're going to see common even today in both Appalachia and the Carpathians is the very same foodways. Foodways have become a very hot topic in American social sciences these days. What people eat, why they choose to eat certain things and grow certain things has become very important in the academy in the Americas in the last 5 years. Most of my Ukrainian friends who come to Appalachia, that's one of the first things they notice about our gardens, is they say these gardens could be the same as ours in the Carpathians. Cabbage, kapusta, pomodori, paradise, I think you call them, potatoes, kartoffel. It's all here. The only thing I do not see that should be there is maybe beets.
Beets.
Beets. Red beets for
borscht.